You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 11 of Teach Better Talk. I am Ray Hewart, and as always, I am with Jeff Gargas.
Hey, guys.
How are you doing, Jeff? We have so much in store for this episode, and we are talking to another incredible educator. But before we get started, Jeff, how are you doing?
Ray, I am doing fantastic. I'm actually, like, even better than fantastic. I don't even know what the word is for that. I'm just going to say awesome. Super excited. You said episode 11, and I went, it's episode 11 already?
Episode 11.
I can't believe it's episode 11. Actually, for those of you who are listening right now, today, as we record this, is the day that we actually released episodes 1, 2, and 3 and launched the whole podcast. So super excited today. Really excited because we have the one and only Adam DeVico with us today. If you don't know Adam, he is, I could just say awesome and be done with that, but I'm going to talk about what he actually is. So first and foremost, he's an amazing teacher. Extremely accomplished teacher. He's a principal. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a professor. He's from down in North Carolina, around the he's in the Winston-Salem area. But he was an elementary school teacher. Then he was at the Ron Clark Academy, where with them he traveled all across the country, working doing professional development and work with teachers all over in a whole bunch of different schools. He then went back to his alma mater, Wake Forest University. And worked with the next generation of teachers there as a clinical professor. And now he is the principal at Moore Magnet Elementary School in Winston-Salem. Oh, and by the way, he's also written two amazing books, The Limitless School and In the Trenches. So, I mean, so much that we're going to try and squeeze out of you tonight, Adam. But first, I really, really appreciate you taking some time. We know you had a full day already. We're in the evening. So you put in a full day's work, and now you're hanging out with us. And we are really, really, truly appreciative of that. So how are you feeling right now, man?
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, it's that tired, excited adrenaline that you just kind of have that very first day of school. It's like you want to sleep, but you can't because you're just still on such a rush and a high from the day. So it's a good feeling. I'm sure I'll pay for it in the morning, but at this point right now, I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
Well, Adam, I know Jeff gave you a pretty great introduction, but I know there's so much more to your backstory and everything else that you do throughout your day. So when someone says, hey, Adam, what do you do? What is your typical response?
So, no, Jeff's intro was awesome, and it gave a nice overview. But, you know, when people ask, like, what do you do? I try to describe myself as, like, a chameleon. You just kind of fit into whatever situation that you're in. So whether it's having to jump into a classroom and teaching or helping out in the cafeteria or the front office or doing some traditional principal roles. I haven't driven a bus yet, but I'm sure I'll get a chance to one of these days. So you don't want me driving that thing. But I just try to jump in wherever I can. That's been just throughout my career, whether I've been classroom teacher or traveling around the country, professor, principal, whatever my job has been. I've always tried to just jump in to whatever is needed and wherever is needed, because I think that's how we get stuff done. You can't just say this is not my job. That's not right. So whenever there's a area to be filled, whenever there's a need to be had, I try to jump in, do whatever's needed.
So I've got to ask you, you know, you joked about the driving a bus, but have you done, I'm sure there's some things, can you tell us about something that was like really odd that you had to do, like that we would never think that you probably would have done before?
This summer I had to do a tremendous amount of, I'll call, like, just grind work around the school. So I did a lot of painting. I was up on scaffolds this last weekend, actually, right before, because today was our first day of school. Last weekend I was peeling paint away from the baseboards of the walls in the hallway. So stuff that maybe people don't always see, and it's not the most glamorous work, but it's stuff that has to be done. And you know, as the principal, it's my school. I feel a responsibility to make sure it looks good and feels good. And so whether it's painting up high on the ceiling or chipping paint away that spilled on the baseboards, I'm going to jump in there and do it.
I love it. So you've had a long career and a lot of different jobs and roles that you've played in your career. So I have a feeling you've got some good ones when I talk about failure or the times that maybe you've tripped up a little bit, fallen on your face, or didn't turn out quite the way that you imagined. So can you take us with you on a time that you did fail? Kind of tell us, you know, what happened, how did it make you feel, then how did you overcome that, and then really what did you learn from it? What did you take away from that?
Well, I mean, I think there's the failure that occurs in your, I guess, day-to-day life, you know, that lesson that went really badly. I've had any number of those, many of them. I remember one time when I was teaching at the Ron Clark Academy, I was teaching my seventh graders. I was doing a math class. And if you know anything about the Ron Clark Academy, you're always being watched. Every week there are visitors in the school, hundreds and hundreds of visitors. And I was doing a math lesson, and I had in my mind, this was going to be the best lesson ever. It was on Pythagorean theorem. And so I had roped up the entire room, I'd strung it up. And so the idea was that the kids were going to use these triangles that I had formed out of string throughout the room. I call it like the Pythagorean jungle. And they were going to do all this cool stuff with measuring the angles and so on and so forth. But ended up that I had put so much string in there that when I had all these guests in my classroom, plus all my students, people started tripping over these things. And by within 5 minutes of the lesson, all the string had like basically been ripped down by people stepping on it. And so I literally had no lesson to go for that day. So you just gotta have to figure out something real quick, think on your feet as you have like 40 to 100 people watching you fail. So it's a very humbling experience. But you know, those are those failures that we all have as teachers. But I'll share last year as a first year principal, I guess I had a failure that was more of a cumulative concept or failure. I got into this habit of saying, I'm gonna stay at work until I get this everything done. And I found myself staying at work till 7:30, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and I was just trying to get every last little thing done, only to realize that as soon as I got everything done, there was another email that came through. There was another thing that I realized I had to finish. And it just got to the point where I was driving myself nuts because it never ended. It was just like this constant cycle of trying to finish, but you never did. And so I've come to the realization that you're never going to get everything done. Whatever you have to do now can definitely wait till tomorrow. There's things that need to be finished and deadlines, of course, but with enough planning and organization, you can get those things done. But I definitely have come to peace with not having everything done by the time I leave for the evening or go to sleep at night.
I love it. That's great stuff. So let's flip it the other way now. Let's talk about success, a time that you felt really successful. So let's sort of tell us what it was that happened, why it was a success for you, why it made you feel successful, and then what was the takeaway from that? What did you leave that?
Sure. So I'll date back again to a few things at the Ron Clark Academy. I guess I'm proud to say that I was able to start a lot of clubs and traditions at RCA that still go on today, along with one of my good friends, Gina Koss. She and I founded the Model United Nations team. We founded the Lego Robotics team. I got the RCA track team started. So they're all things that I got to start while I was there, and they still exist today. So that's pretty cool that I got to start something that kind of has a little bit of a legacy behind it. I'll say last year at Moore as principal, I organized our first ever Amazing Shake competition at the school. And back in 2010, I was on the original, committee that helped organize it at the Ron Clark Academy, but I wanted to bring it to my own school last year. And so that was a really proud moment, just having every one of my fifth graders participate in this interpersonal skills competition. The students are working on, handshakes and eye contact and conversation and engagement. So all these types of things that we expect people to do in the real world and when you're, in a career, but we don't always expect it from our 10-year-olds. And so being able to organize that and see the growth from my student, and even the student that came in 93rd place, so 93rd out of 93rd, even she grew in that competition. And so just seeing that everyone had a chance to grow, everyone had a chance to put on the best performance that they could, I think that was a really great moment for me in my career. And seeing that it was something that, people could ultimately take a real life lesson from. And I'm proud to say that this year, we are actually going to, my superintendent asked me to do it for the entire school district. So this year we're going to be doing a district-wide Amazing Shake. That's going to be pretty cool.
Adam, that is so cool because I know a lot of schools around the country are now doing that Amazing Shake concept, right? I mean, like we connected there last year. I know you were there helping out. And I was there with two students. And now even this year, my school is sending 8 students now to this big event. I mean, it's a great opportunity for students to go and practice their skills, but being able to do it locally is so important because while, you know, you're able to do it at RCA and they still do it, they even have a national event now, being able to do it in your town has had such an effect on even the area I live in, much less all the other communities that have taken on this challenge. Can you share a little bit about how you structured your kind of school-focused one?
Sure. So we had 5 rounds. The first round was a traditional make a great first impression. So every 5th grader was eligible. I brought in community guests. We had about 30 guest judges. Every student had an opportunity to make 10 first impressions in 30-second increments. So after those 10 30-second increments, everyone got immediate scores from the judges. After all the students went that day, we tallied up the scores and we named the top 8. Those top 8 students went on to the second round, which was a work the room session with a bunch of student athletes at Wake Forest University. And so my students had to work a room with these like 6'8" basketball and football players, which was kind of intimidating for them, but they did a great job just kind of putting themselves out there and making a great first impression. From there, we named the top 5, and the top 5 had to do a one-on-one interview with one of the Hall of Fame basketball players at the university. From there, we named the top 3, and round 4 involved the top 3 going to the local children's hospital, and they had to do a speech in front of a room full of pediatricians on what they felt was the most pressing health issue that children face today. And then from there, we named the top 2. And the top 2 were the special guests of our superintendent at a luncheon. And they had to kind of show off their lunch etiquette. And they also had to do a speech in front of the teachers, kind of thanking them for what they do. And just kind of a nice feel-good message to all the educators there.
No, but what I really like about the to be able to hold this competition in your school is not only the fun challenges, because let's be honest, the kids love those experiences to be able to take on a role and work the room. I mean, they're nerve-wracking, but they're such different experiences that we're able to give our students to really start conquering that whole student teaching effect, right? We're trying to give them skills for their life and not just teaching them academically, but truly all the other elements that they need. And when I'm thinking about even just the rounds of students being, you know, eliminated, but the ones that are progressing forward, I mean, you know that every single person in that experience, whether they were a staff member or a student, got something out of that competition, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everyone is growing from where they are. And that's the coolest part to see. It's that it's not just about winning. And that's, of course, you know, some of those kids had that eye on the prize. But ultimately, it was really about just wherever you started, getting better. And for those students that kind of got that and understood that, they were really proud of themselves. And so even kids who maybe didn't move on to the next round, they went home saying, man, I never thought I could go up to an adult and have a full conversation. I never thought that I could have a handshake that would say that would impress people. So it was just really neat seeing that those skills are going to be life skills. And that's how I explained to the parents at the school. I said, these aren't skills for 5th grade. These are skills for 15 years old, 25 years old, 45 years old, and beyond. So it's neat, and the parents are appreciative. They really are. They talk about that event more than any other thing we do at the school.
Well, and hello, can we talk about the community element of this whole entire concept? I mean, Adam, I'm lucky enough to follow you on a lot of social media sites because you share so much with your network. You share about your school. You share about your personal, you know, thoughts on education. I mean, I really love all of that. And the use of the community in the classroom is something I'm incredibly passionate about. And even though in all the other podcast episodes, I joke about having favorite topics, truly this is the one, if down to my core, is this community engagement element. And so to have an event focused around bringing the community in, having your community engage with your students and start becoming stakeholders in their success, I mean, that's what I'm excited about in education. That's really something that gets me moving and grooving. So whether you touch on that or something else, do you have something that you're excited about in education right now?
In general, in education, I'm excited about the, I guess, the movement towards student-centered learning. And I know it's not everywhere in every classroom, but, you know, you and I are both fortunate enough to be, you know, kind of in a social media world. We're both pretty present on there, and we get to see a lot of good stuff going on. I see teachers that are moving towards flexible seating, that are doing inquiry-based learning. They're doing things that are student-centered. And I think that's inspiring, and it's important. And so for me, that gets me excited. And I'll give a shout out to my teachers. I cannot tell you the number of hours and the amount of dollars that they spent, their own dollars, that they spent this summer on their classrooms, transforming them into absolutely just breathtaking classrooms. It was last Wednesday, because it was the day before open house, we just got rid of almost 300 desks.
Wow, 300 desks.
Yeah, the entire stage in my gym was filled with desks, and they're all gone now, which is awesome.
Wonderful. So what are you doing?
So they put in tables, so a little bit more collaborative setting. Some of them just have complete flexible seating. A lot of them found really cool, vintage tables or high top tables. Some found like wooden tables. I can't even imagine the things that they were typing into Facebook Marketplace to find these things. That's where they found everything, like Goodwill, Habitat Restore, Facebook Marketplace. One of my teachers found, she had a friend who was an electrician, and you ever see like those gigantic spools that telephone cable comes on, and we're talking like 6-foot spools. Well, she got a couple of those, and she turned them sideways, and those are now like her tables. So,
oh my God,
it's just really neat seeing the things that they came up with.
Well, and I know that your school has really done a lot of innovative things. I mean, while I love following a ton of educators, your school is always fun to engage with because it's full of innovative educators that are doing exactly like you're describing. I mean, finding something that you would never think twice about. It's something that's probably recycled, and yet we bring it into a classroom, make it a table, and think of the fun ideas that will be discussed around that spool.
It's crazy. I mean, just the innovative ideas and creative use of basically, I'll call it junk sometimes, it's really neat. It's fun to watch. And for me, even like over the summer, as my teachers were spending hours and hours and hours on their classroom, I'd go in there at 8 a.m. to say hi. I'd go back at the end of the day at 3 or 4 o'clock, and the room was completely different. And so it was really fun for me just to see, like, even with those 8 hours, how much has changed. And then to see the kids' faces last week and even this morning, for the first day in open house, seeing their faces come back and see all these different rooms, because a lot of them were going into their old classrooms and just their eyes were wide open, their jaws dropped, seeing how different these classrooms looked from last year or 2 years ago or three years ago.
Yeah, they just want to see them. Absolutely. So when you're thinking of everything that you've done in your career and all the things, of course, that you have planned, because let's be honest, you're nowhere close to being finished. But as you think about your first year teaching, your time in different districts, your time at RCA, your time now being a principal as a college professor, all those combined, what is one piece of advice you would give a new teacher? And maybe not just a new teacher in the field, they're fresh out of college, but those new teachers that are 1 to 3 years in the field that really just need they're just dipping their toes still in the profession. What advice do they need?
My biggest advice is always take risks, be a game changer, find areas that can be improved and make those changes. We get satisfied sometimes with the status quo, and we do things because that's always the way that it's been done. And I've been, you know, I've visited so many schools, and when I see something and I ask why you do it that way, they just say, well, we've always done it that way. So I don't think we can just rest by saying it's always been done that way. So I always encourage educators of all experience levels, take a risk, break the script, and try something new. It's funny, actually, I got a text the other day, it might have been over the weekend, from one of my former students at Wake Forest University, who's now a second year teacher. And she texted me and she said, I just wanted to let you know that I was teaching, And one of my teammates heard that I was standing up on a desk. And she said that all at once, everyone just kind of stared at her with this side eye, as in like, well, what are you doing? And I had always joked with my students at Wake Forest. I said, the biggest compliment you could ever get is when everyone looks at you with a side eye saying, what are you doing? That's the biggest compliment you can get. And so she was reminiscing and chuckling a little bit about that. But I was really proud of her for, you know, not going with the status quo, doing something different.
Jeff, do you feel like you get a lot of side eye? Is that a thing that you find?
I think I probably get a lot of side eye. I might not always see it, but I'm pretty sure I get a lot of it. I know I've gotten a lot of it throughout my life, that's for sure. I wanted to ask, Adam, you know, you've visited so many schools, you've worked with a lot of different people in a lot of different areas, a lot of different levels, you connected with a lot of people. You talk about taking risk and being different. Is there anything that comes to your mind of something you've seen in a classroom of someone taking a really unique risk or really truly doing something like really unique that you've come across that's been outside of your own classroom?
Yeah, I mean, as I've traveled, I've been very fortunate. I've been to somewhere around 250 schools around the country, so I've seen a lot of teachers and a lot of different things. I mean, there's a few things that come to mind that really stand out. I mean, you have, I guess I'll call it the aesthetic difference. So teachers who have transformed their room, whether mm-hmm. it's with, you know, whether it's with the seating or the decorations. So those are more of the obvious ones, you know, that you can actually see it when you walk in. So those are great. But, you know, I think there's some less obvious ones as well. I always commend teachers who kind of come up with innovative instructional devices. So things like backwards design or problem-based learning. I think those are really progressive ways to think about teaching. I think teachers who try to incorporate, I'll say, technology in a useful way, I think that's really complimentary as well. There's teachers that definitely come to mind as I picture in my head different ways to teach. I think teachers that involve a lot of debate and public speaking, especially in the elementary realm, that should always be complimented, because I know high school teachers really appreciate it when students come to them knowing how to speak properly and debate without arguing. I think those are really great traits that they can learn early on.
Very cool, very cool. Now, speaking of taking risk, this is the risky part of the podcast here. We're going to do 6 questions, and you have 15 seconds or less to answer.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Are you ready for it?
I'll try.
Ray, are you ready? Because Ray gets nervous anytime we do this. I don't.
I only get nervous because you should know, Adam, and our listeners know that Jeff is honestly on the other end of this microphone with a stopwatch. So you really need to be aware of your 15 seconds because, you know.
He's going to cut me off.
He's going to. He does this all the time where he says, hey, will you tell me an answer? But I'll give you 4.5 seconds. Go. And you're like, that's just improbable. So we'll see. If you can do this in another 15 seconds, then you'll have to win a prize. I think we need to start awarding trophies or something.
All right. I'll try it.
Here we go. What is one EdTech tool you cannot live without?
Right now, I'm in love with Goose Chase.
Oh, me too.
Goose Chase is cool. Love it.
Absolutely, Goose Chase.
What's one book you're reading right now?
I'm reading Kim Bearden's Talk to Me, one of my best friends and my former boss as well. So Kim Bearden, Talk to Me. Awesome book.
Who do we need to follow on Twitter or just on social media in general?
So I've never met this guy, and I follow a lot of people who I've met or I've done stuff with. I have no idea. I've never met this guy, but I really love following Danny Steele right now. He's a principal. Seems like a really cool guy. Really does a lot of great stuff on Twitter. So I've been following a lot of what he says.
What is the best YouTube channel or blog for educators?
All right, so I'm going to go with this on a very different tangent. It's probably something that no one else follows very closely, but my school is a hearing impaired, or deaf and hard of hearing program. We have that within us. So I follow this girl. She's very young. Her name is Laura Berg, and she teaches sign language for like preschool kids. And so I just follow her because I really want to learn sign language. So I'm at a preschool level, so I've been following her. Again, no. Something that most people probably don't follow, but I do.
That's very cool, though. What is one daily, weekly, or monthly routine that every teacher should get into?
Do something that has absolutely nothing to do with your job. So for me, it's kickball, and usually I play on Monday nights, but I wanted to do this with y'all. So kickball is my thing, but I think everyone should just have something that has absolutely nothing to do with their job.
If I knew we were taking away from kickball, we would have rescheduled this thing.
No, it's all good.
We could have done this during kickball.
That would have been crazy.
Ray and I could have come and played kickball with you. Like, that's the invitation that I will continue to wait for, I guess.
That sounds like another podcast episode to me. Just throwing that out there.
We'll do it live from the kickball game. Yeah. All right, last one is best piece of advice you've ever received.
Best piece of advice. You can't make, or if you're making everyone happy, you're doing something wrong. You should know everyone should not be happy, or else you're just sucking up to everyone. So I have come to grips with that because that was my goal early on. Just make everyone happy, and then you just realize.
Love it. Awesome.
So, Adam, I have this really important question that I ask at the very end, which is all about how people, our listeners, everyone in our network can connect with you. And I not only want you to share all about how we can connect with you, because I'm connected with you and I know I get so much value out of it, but I'm hoping that you mention your books, because I really do want to touch on that before we end today. So if you could tell us how to connect with you, but then also feel free to discuss all the other awesome things as well.
Sure thing. So I am at Adam DeVico on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and it's AdamDovico. I'm the only Adam DeVico that I've met, so it's pretty easy to follow. And then I also have a website. It's www.insidetrenches.com, and that's actually after my first book, Inside the Trenches. And then my second book is The Limitless School, which I wrote with my buddy Abe Hagee. And Inside the Trenches is really kind of just about feel-good stories and tales and tips and ideas about being inside the trenches, which is what we do as educators each day. It's not always easy. It's not always pretty, but it's a heck of a lot of fun. So it's a little bit of a tale through my journey in teaching up to that point. And then the new book, Limitless School, it's all about building a positive school culture. And it's been kind of cool because that book, I wrote it with Abe before I became a principal, and it was based on a lot of the other schools I've been to and just kind of seeing some great stuff. But now that book has become kind of my handbook for my current school. And now Abe actually just became a principal for this year. So he and I are both principals now, using our own book as a manual for, you know, what we're doing in our schools. So I tell my staff all the time, because they're always trying to guess what's next, I say, y'all, just read the book. It's right there. So you don't have to guess at all. But it's been a really cool ride. And so those are my two books, website and social media.
You know, it's so interesting. A lot of the network that I've been able to connect with outside of Twitter doesn't always understand hashtags. However, if you don't mind, would you share the hashtags that you use for your book? Because if you're not normally on Twitter, but you're open to searching this hashtag, there's so many good things to get out of this, because you know, teachers share about their school culture and they use the hashtag for Limitless School. And so you can almost get this incredible collection of progressive ideas to create strong culture and everything else. So what type of hashtags are you using for your books?
Yeah, so for Limitless School, we use hashtag Limitless School. And then for Inside the Trenches, I use hashtag Inside Trenches. And then if anyone's interested in seeing what's going on at my actual school, my school, we use hashtag More Together, MOORE, More Together. So those are three hashtags I use pretty regularly in my tweets and Instagram posts as well.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And there's so much good in all of those, and they're all separate concepts. So depending on what you're looking for, there's so many good things to go dabble in with those hashtags. Love it.
Awesome. And you guys know that you can find links to all of the social media sites, everything that Adam mentions, as well as links to his books, to his websites, his blog, and connecting with him over at teachbetter.com. So we'll make sure that is all in the show notes for this episode. Please be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and a review, we'd really, really appreciate that as well. Adam, truly appreciate you taking some time today after a long, hard day of work. Skipping your kickball game and hanging out with us and chatting with us. Truly, truly appreciate your time, sir.
Always my pleasure. I appreciate it. Next time we'll do it on the kickball field.
Absolutely. That sounds great. And all you listening out there, until next time, let's get out there and let's go ahead and teach better.